The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast, live and uncatfished. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, joined by my good buddy Adam Emmert, and we are talking about the Seahawks' 39-32 loss to the New Orleans Saints. Adam, how are you feeling?
I think how I'm going to feel after a lot of these losses this year, which is kind of like, it's a bummer. Didn't have to happen, but okay. A lot of the same that we've seen throughout the course of the season, you know, kept up again here in this game and just kind of tough to watch. But I do want to start this podcast out with one thing, Brandon.
Yeah.
I haven't had to live with Matt Millen in my broadcasting life in a long time. I don't know why. I thought he had retired from broadcasting. I never, ever, ever, ever again want to hear one word about football from dumbass Matt Millen.
I feel like every time that Matt Millen would say something in the broadcast, it was almost immediately contradicted by something that we would see on the screen. And also yep. That had to do with, I don't know, every penalty that was that went one way or the other. He had the exact wrong call every single time.
Yep. Every single time. Just like how he drafts receivers. Like, and then for him to talk about receiver play throughout the game too, what a catch is and what's not a catch. Like after he drafted 13 receivers in a row in Detroit and all but one busted, like, come on, man. I do not want to hear anything from you about receivers.
Nate Smeltzer coming in via the live chat here says 8 weeks now, no defense, obviously counting the preseason, was keeping Ken Norton a better decision. No, keeping Ken Norton wasn't a good decision. This defense now is bad. And I don't know how to get it right. Obviously, there's... Look, when it's this bad, I don't know if Coachy can help it. This is a personnel issue. You can see that there's a couple dudes on defense who are good. It's Uchenna Nwosu, it's Tariq Woolen, and that's all. And Al Woods. Those are your three guys. And I'm not gonna. There's one guy I'm gonna leave out of neither good nor bad, just because Quandre Diggs is. I enjoy the man, and we really. You can't put any fault or blame at his feet because he's kind of the guy trying to keep everything together in the back.
Yeah, but if we're going to be honest about Diggs coming back from the injury and everything.
I don't want to be on. Oh, okay. Yeah, if you're going to be honest in the way that, yeah, you're giving him benefit of the doubt.
No, he's a step slower this year.
Yeah.
He's just that far away from a lot of, big, those explosive play tackles, saving them, doesn't get there. So, yeah, this defense is really, it has issues on a personnel standpoint. And look, they're going to just target the hell out of the linebackers all year. They're going to target the strong safety and whoever's not Tariq Woolen all year. And they're going to give up a zillion yards, especially when they have a unique player on their roster, as do the Saints. And they can't be bothered to do any preparation for what to do when said player, who's unbelievably one-dimensional, comes into the game.
The thing is, though, they knew that Taysom Hill was going to be an issue in some respect, because Pete was asked about him in the press conferences, and then they talked about needing to be aware of what a versatile player like Taysom Hill can do. The only problem was they didn't have an answer for him once it actually came to the game. And so, again, that... Yeah. You, as a coach, you can prepare your guys to do things. If your guys that are on the field can't execute it and can't make a stop, then it's hard to blame coaching too much beyond that.
Yeah, unless there's no coaching of how to stop that, because they did. They all looked dead surprised every time he kept and ran with the ball. Like, I get it. They looked dead surprised when he threw the ball.
Right.
Like, so, like, if you're going to guess one way or the other, can we please guess towards stopping the run, or at least guess one way or the other? Like, instead, they were just like, oh, Taysom Hill's here, this is a conundrum that cannot be solved. Basically, world peace, world hunger, and how to stop Taysom Hill. Those are three unsolvable problems that we'll never get to.
Yeah, 9 rushes, 112 yards on the day, including a 60-yard run after the Seahawks had taken the lead. And man, that was the backbreaker right there, is watching that long run after Ken Walker gets his 69-yard touchdown run, gets them into the lead. And then we have to see that Taysom Hill run. He also had the 122-yard pass on the day after he had, well, that was his only one pass the entire day. Just when you're thinking, well, as soon as he takes the ball, he's just going to run it. And then, he caught the defense off guard in that particular situation. So,
look, if you get beat on that one and you eliminated the other ones because you were prepared for the run, I could live with that.
Right.
Like, it just stinks to be the guy or the team that experiences the random. Like, it happens about 3 times a year, the Taysom Hill games.
Sure.
Yeah. So that happened. But not to lay all the blame on the defense, not to lay all the blame on the refs, because I think we could complain about them a good amount, really all the way around. The announcers stunk and all that. But, you know, this team, they still could have won this game without some self-inflicted wounds. I mean, you talk about the DK TD drop. You know, that's 4-point difference right there. And then you talk about the inexplicable Michael Dixon. I'm going to fake it, but I'm not going to fake it play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so before we get there, I want to thank Orion911 with the 999 Super Chat. Our live executive producer says, at least we get to watch elite post-game content. Value for value. Thanks for coming in for the value for value there, Ryan.
Heck yeah, man. Week in, week out, Ryan's the man.
And when it comes to those self-inflicted wounds, yeah, there were some point swings in some critical moments, both self-inflicted and officiating. Okay, so let's talk about the fake punt, because that was one question that I needed answered from Pete Carroll after the game, and he got right into it.
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Okay, sure. Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. He's going to be like, look, before the game, we saw a certain formation that we liked out of them.
Nope,
and so wrong. If we got that look,
nope.
Dixon had the green light to go for it. We got that look, but unfortunately, he beat us on one block, and then Michael didn't really know what to do, and it was just unfortunate all the way around.
Nope, you're way
or
off.
Or the second option is, I should have just called it off. I can't believe I allowed that to happen.
Nope. Off on both on both guesses.
No way.
Oh, it wasn't supposed to be a fake punt. It was just a rollout punt, a designed rollout punt. And I don't know. Now, it could be that Pete is trying to cover up for just a really bad decision when he's saying this in the press conference, because he said something about Dixon not liking the look of things downfield. And so that's, it's hard to know what exactly Pete is covering for, but it was a really weird answer in that he said that it was not a fake punt. And then later on in the answer, he said that Dixon saw something that he didn't like, and is bad.
It was god awful.
I think it makes it worse.
That's happening.
I think it makes it worse that it was supposed to be a punt and they actually didn't even execute a punt in that situation.
Right. Yeah. No, I was screaming at the screen. Just why? Just why? Why? Why would you do that? I mean, that's on par with the Homer pass or the DJ Dallas pass in the 49ers game, right? Like, just one of those plays where you're just like, that's god awful. That's god awful. Don't do that.
Some of the worst moments that we've seen in the season. Oh. Yeah, it would go right up there along with that.
Are you ready DJ for Dallas. Some breaking news?
Okay, let's hear it.
There's the breaking news sounder. Rashad Penny fractured tibia.
Oh, man. Yeah, Pete in the post-game press conference, he wasn't saying how bad it was, which made me think that it was going to be bad. And man, after Penny was looking like he had defeated just the little bit of injury bugginess, you know, just like those nagging type injuries, you can't hold a broken ankle against a dude with his injury history, but I almost wonder if it's just bad injury luck for Penny at this point.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it is, if it's a curse, if it's bad luck, being fragile, just not having a talent or a knack for it, whatever, it doesn't happen. He doesn't stay healthy. Everybody who complained about the Ken Walker pick, now eat your words. You're all very glad that we picked him, because there's a lot of people that are upset that you pick a running back that high. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm with Andy, man. I didn't need to see that. I was really hoping that he could have himself a year and earn himself another great paycheck. You know, he's on this 1 year deal this year.
Oh yeah, that is a bummer, man. Well, you hope that he can recover and come back, and you can still, you know, find a spot for him on the team, and that, you know, he recovers fully. So yeah, we'll just have to see, but we will see a heavy dose now of Ken Walker. I'm with you, man. Watching this game, like, after the fact, I can kind of rationalize it and say, well, shoot, you know, at least we get a better draft pick out of the deal, out of losing a game. You know, you watch Denver lose, you know, it's coming up that, man, we're going to need those good draft picks to be able to spend on defense, because the defense is so bad, and rationalize it that way. But I wanted to win the whole time through this game. And yes, Gambling Goat, the fumble from DK, it felt like that was a moment in the game that was a turning point, because one, I don't know what the officials, how they worked through this particular process, because the call on the field was that it was a fumble. Mm-hmm. And so already right there, you have to see inconclusive evidence on the replay that, one, I guess it would have had to have been a catch. Two, it would have had to have been an actual fumble. Mm-hmm. And then you go with before you can overturn the call on the field. So could they not determine that it was a catch because he was going to the ground and didn't have that time component? But if it wasn't a catch, then it would just have been an incomplete pass. It wouldn't have been a fumble.
They determined it was a catch. They upheld it.
Right.
Or they couldn't prove it wasn't a catch, I guess, is the way
they couldn't prove it wasn't a fumble, because they determined it was a catch.
First, they couldn't prove that it wasn't a catch. That's the first component.
Yeah.
Because it has to be a catch or not a catch before a fumble is even in play.
Right.
So they decided that there wasn't enough evidence to say that it wasn't a catch, which you can be up in there. It looked like a catch in real time to me. You know, it's a little iffy in slow-mo. I'd say it's a catch. Now, the fumble part of it, like, his forearm is clearly down before the Saints player that causes the fumble hits the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can be any more clear and obvious in that. Like, that was irrefutable evidence. So that one was tough.
Yeah, I was looking on my phone, and so I couldn't quite tell the moment of where the ball came loose.
Yeah.
And so maybe they were just looking at a really tiny screen, and so they ended up having to go with the call on the field.
I don't know. Yeah, that was a bummer. That was a bummer. But again, other plays could have been made to win this game.
Yeah, they came back. I can't even be mad at that particular call, because they ended up coming back and going ahead on that long Ken Walker run. And so then it really does come down to the defense. I mean, okay, the other critical moments were the one touchdown pass to DK Metcalf where Geno rolled out and they called holding on Charles Cross. That was a touchdown. And look, if they were calling holding on that particular play all day long, then you say, yeah, that was holding, because that's the way they've been calling it. That's not the way they were calling it all day.
It was not. In fact, on many third downs, I watched the Saints flat tackle our defensive lineman.
Right.
And not get called for holding.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't until Uchenna Nwosu's helmet came off that they called the penalty on the Saints offensive line.
And two other dudes got literally Puna Ford and I think it was Monet.
Puna was held.
Got tackled from behind on that play. Like they finally got one flag out of the deal.
See, I was watching the holding call on Puna when the flag came out, and I was like, oh, okay, well, they're calling holding there.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see the helmet come off, but yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
And then the other bad call was the holding on Tariq Woolen. They would have had a third down stop. It probably could have been a legal contact after 5 yards, because it was like, I don't know, 6 yards when they were fighting, but there was no hold.
There was no hold, but I could see, I don't know for sure if he was past 5 yards. It looked it to me in the moment, but that was a first round call. But then again, they ended up, I believe they ended up getting a stop after that.
I don't know if they did get a stop after that.
They did, because I remember thinking, oh, that turned out to not be so bad. Oh,
okay.
I think so.
It was late in the game.
I'm trying to look at my little quick notes here. That'll be something we can revisit in the regular pod. The other one is the touchdown to, was it Olave? Now, whether or not that's a catch.
That was a catch.
Okay.
He got 2 feet down. He made a step.
That was a football move there? He made a football move?
No, it's 2 feet down and a football move. And a football move is a third step.
Okay.
It's how they call it with the new rule.
Fine. I just know that that used to not be a catch. Or in real time, that doesn't look like a catch.
Right.
He didn't maintain possession. But okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know.
And the thing is that third step is he got wheeled around by Kobe.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't a third step intentionally by him. It was just a third foot down before he went to the ground.
Yeah, it just so happened that's where he tried to, you know, brace himself going to the ground.
Yeah. I understand that it doesn't feel like a catch, but I think by the letter of the current rules, they called it the right way.
It might be.
Either way, frustrating on that. Yeah, I'm trying to find where that particular penalty was. It was after. I'm trying to look as we're doing this live. I think that came before the Ken Walker touchdown, so maybe it didn't matter too much. Anyway, we got Aaron F coming in with the super chat. Thank you, Adam. The officials only seem to be able to see holding when Seattle did the holding, but blind to Saints holding.
Yeah, and some days the officiating is going to go a bit against you. And kind of the encouraging part is that they were still in this game because MV Gino, like MP, let me see. Like, there's got to be a way to do that one. MVP No.
Yeah, I don't like MVP No. Do not let that stick. Yeah.
MVP No.
No, that's terrible.
It's amazing.
We're not calling him the Pino.
Yeah, the MVP No. He played great.
Geno Smith, you cannot put this game once again on Geno Smith. He had the beautiful touchdown pass to Tyler Lockett in the end zone. Just beautifully thrown football, 16 to 25. So efficiency a little bit lower than what we've seen these last few weeks, but still 16 to 25, 268 yards. Hey, you can't be 77% completion percentage every single week.
No. Only what's 16 to 25? Is that 60 something?
You're asking. Okay. Let me pull up the calculator, Adam, to determine the percentage.
Are we still going to sit here and say, oh, you know, Geno's better in the rhythm and timing game and all that, but
64%.
You know, he'll just never throw a deep ball like Russell.
Yeah. And it's been quite the contrast between Geno and Russ.
What was 16 to 25?
Yeah. 64%.
There you go. Oh, only 64. Gosh, what a disappointment.
And now he's under 70. Very disappointing.
Aaron's already override me here with MV Smith. MV Pino.
MVG. MVG.
You could say MV Geno. I don't know.
I like the MVG.
MVG. Okay.
Yeah, he had a nice stat line on the day. It could have been a whole lot better if that holding call. So one of the things that I know Field Goals was watching was that I think the Seahawks have never had a quarterback with three straight 300 plus yard passing games, some weird stat like that. And so if Geno gets that one touchdown pass to DK at the end without the holding call, then he passes that up.
Yep. Couple, critical mistakes by rookies, a couple big plays by rookies. I mean, Tariq with another interception. I mean, okay, I see you, but you're for real. I get it. I see you. There's no denying it.
He had the frustrating part about the Tariq Woolen interception was that they came away with that with 0 points.
Yeah.
Not even a field goal after that big play. So there were moments where the offense it could have come through, but
couple times Geno held the ball a little too long and ended up taking sacks when he could have just gotten the ball away.
Right. He's dancing around trying to make a play. I don't know.
I know. And then at some point, like, you got to realize, oh, I'm Geno Smith, not 25-year-old Russell Wilson. Like, I don't do scribble plays. That's not my thing.
Yeah. He did have a couple moments where he danced around and found an open spot to go downfield, though. So
yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, that's picking nits a little bit. Running game was okay. Boom and busty throughout the game again.
Yeah. I feel like this offense is more set up to be a passing offense that,
yep.
Pass to set up the run. And if that's the way it ends up working, I'm fine with it. I just thought that, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago would have been the way to be doing that with the personnel that we had.
Yeah.
And this, yeah. It seems more like you have a good enough offensive line to have the run to set up the pass. But either way, however it works.
It is working. This was not an offensive problem this week. It was mainly special teams backed up closely by defense, because special teams did put defense in a bad spot a couple times. The DK fumble put the defense in a bad spot. But I had on the day, and I'll have to go back and look, but I think we had 5 stops. Just not enough.
And 4 of them, I think, were in the first half.
Yeah. Or at least 3. Yep.
Yeah. Carly Perkins coming in saying Kobe looked a bit better this game. Kobe once again had the forced fumble that Tariq Woolen picked up.
Yeah. Yeah. And he had a nice PBU early in the game. And then he also broke up the non-touchdown pass to Callaway.
Right. Yeah. He was right there for that one. And it probably should have been a breakup. But yeah, he was in the right spot.
Right.
It's not like he got beat badly on that throw to the end zone.
Who did?
Kobe wasn't beat badly on that throw.
No, he was not beat badly. No, who got beat badly on a touchdown was Brooks, once again, on the Taysom Hill TD pass. Gets sucked up. Guy runs right by him. Doesn't cover the deeper part of the zone again. Just lets him go. And then you see when it's like winning time, 3rd and 4 with, what was it? Just a hair under 2 minutes left. We had 1 timeout left. You got to get the stop to get the ball back in Geno's hands. See if he can do some magic. Guess who they targeted? They targeted Jordan Brooks with mesh, and it was a disaster.
Yeah. All pro Seahawks. Brooks is god awful in coverage.
God awful. He was thumping people today, though, in the run game.
He was. Yeah, that was. Yeah. I was happy to see how physical the defense was. They looked fast early on. And it was that speed that I think that ultimately the Saints ended up using against them, because they were sending 5-6 man blitzes. And then on the one time they do send 6, they sent both Barton and Brooks, and they threw a screen pass to Kamara and rips off, 60 yard play. So yeah, not only did they get beat badly on the day by Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara had 23 rushes, 103 yards. And he also had 6 catches for 91 yards. So
I thought they did pretty well against him in the run game. They gave up the 1 big screen pass.
Yeah.
I think that's about as best as you can hope to contain somebody like Kamara. He's a hell of a back. I was really relieved when there were many instances he wasn't in there and Ingram was in there, and maybe he's just getting his legs back, coming back from the injury and all that stuff. Yeah. But every time he wasn't on the field, I was relieved. Every time Taysom Hill wasn't on the field, I don't understand why, like, after early in the second quarter, the Saints didn't just pull Andy Dalton and leave Taysom in. They would have scored 90.
Right. Yeah. They just, all they had to do was run Taysom behind however they had that set up. And yeah, they would have put up 50.
Yeah.
Man. So any word on thigh arms, actually thighs/knees? Thigh arms went out, and thigh arms is Al Woods. He went out with a knee injury, and Pete Carroll after the game said that his knee flared up on him and he was trying to make it back in the game and just couldn't do it. So it sounds like not a serious issue with Al Woods.
Yeah. I mean, the Penny injury obviously being the big one, otherwise got fairly lucky. The other thing I was going to say is, do you remember Brian Urlacher the last year of his career with the Bears?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember Peyton Manning with the last year of his career with the Broncos? Remember how Peyton had no more arm strength. He just couldn't throw it out of his own shadow. And last year of Urlacher, it looked like I could probably beat him in a 40, legitimately.
Right.
That's how Cody Barton looks out on the the field. He looks like last year Brian Urlacher without the smarts.
That's bad. I feel like, but the problem is with the defense and the linebackers, they don't have anybody behind them to put out there. You can't say, oh, well, put out so-and-so because he showed promise in the preseason. They have zero depth at middle linebacker.
None. And none at nickel, I guess. I mean, I guess, was Justin Coleman back? I guess he was, but he didn't seem to play. Man, it's just, quicksand is right, man. Like, that's exactly what it looks like. It's a total liability. You can't play a 3-4 with bad linebackers. Like, that's not a good way to go about doing that. That's for sure.
No. And I know I've seen some people saying, well, maybe the Bears will deal Roquan Smith, right? Cause he was coming up for a big payday and the Bears are talking about wanting to trade him. You know, how about using some of the draft picks that we have on to get a solid linebacker like Roquan Smith? And that's your answer right there. No, don't use those picks on a linebacker.
No,
go out and get average dudes. Nothing. Like you just want guys who are okay. They just have to be okay. You don't have to have elite.
Are we sure we can't pluck a practice squad guy from some other team, a la the Saints losing Murray to the Broncos?
There's got
to
be somebody that's out there, right?
There's got to be somebody. There's got to be like a dude who was good at one point or just need to rest up, whatever it is. Maybe a young guy that we don't know about that can at least run.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You brought up Brian Urlacher, like bring him out of retirement. Like at least he's had a couple years to rest.
Yeah, exactly. No, they look bad. So that's kind of the thing about the defense that I don't have a lot of faith in is, I mean, they even created turnovers today. Like that happened and still got roasted.
Yeah. And that's what I think it was because they just had enough. Okay. Because you want your defense to at least create a couple of opportunities, a couple of extra opportunities. And that's what this defense is going to need to do. But then the offense didn't quite capitalize. And you had, you know, the special teams mistake. You had
offense gives me 32. I'm good that you win that game.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to say that if you would have told me going into this, you win the turnover battle and the defense gets you an interception and a fumble recovery. I think, okay. I think we could work with that.
Yep. And it was a close game, obviously. And it's just a lot of little things like Nwosu, beginning of the second quarter, gets called for an offsides on 3rd and 5.
Yeah.
Gives up the first, leads to a Taysom Hill touchdown. They can't get off the field.
Well, I think that might end up being an okay place to end it. No, I'm going to take one question here from All Pro Seahawks. Says Adam and Brandon, would you choose all four defense with the first four picks in 2023 or grab a young quarterback in the first round? And I'll tell you where I'm at on this, All Pro Seahawks. Right now, after watching this defense through the first five games of the season, I'm good with using all six or eight picks in 2023 on defense. Draft a couple linebackers, draft some pass rushers. Well, hopefully in opposite order, pass rushers first, then linebackers, maybe a safety in there. You know, you're good on at least one corner spot. So maybe go another corner in the fifth round. Does that come out to eight? I think we need at least eight picks in the draft to go to the defense. I'm fine. Cause I can't even say that Geno is the issue with this. The offense isn't the issue. DK Metcalf looked good in this game, apart from his fumbling issues. And even one wasn't quite a fumble. You got Tyler Lockett, who was over 100 yards on the day. You had the both running backs who were tearing it up until one of them got injured. The offensive line looked good with the two offensive tackles. So I don't even know if I want to use any picks at all on the offense, including quarterback, at this point. So, you know, I wouldn't have expected myself saying that going into the season, but 5 weeks into the season, that's where I am. And I think with that, there's only one thing left to say. Go Hawks.